Okay. Very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the second Thursday, at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house. So we should rejoice with the wholesomeness of them for providing this place for us to have our Thursday class. And at the same time, quite a number of Kayanamita who has also so kindly and so generously helped to arrange the dinner for some of us who were early. So we should all rejoice with the wholesome condition. Ah yes, the rest are coming. we haven't started yet, don't worry. You can have your seat anywhere you can sit. Oh, okay, Sadio. Nice meeting you. Make yourself at home. We will start in 1 or 2 minutes time. So today, who will be lighting the candle and the incense? We let Brother Teo and Padmasri nominate. Who you want to nominate? Or maybe get Michael and Sito. We let them do it today. Then, yes, let him light. Yeah, let him light. Let him light. Good, Sadhu, very good. Where is that lighter, that long one? Ah, good. Ah, that one easy. Somebody who doesn't know how to come in. those who are supposed to light can come forward. Your father-in-law, is he dressing up? Then we wait for a while. Wait for him to come. Never mind, let him take his time. Come, Serena, come. You can occupy the front row so that those who come later, they can sit behind. The cordless mic, maybe you better hold that one. Give a set to Ingby's friend, the Mangala Sutta, you can bring. She has. Okay. Brother Teo's dad is here. Uncle Lai, Tiam. Tiam Tho Ting. That up there, the big one. No, the big one. Brother Teo, that tall one. That tall one. That lighter is here. Very good. Sadhu. Okay, Brother Michael. Sadhu. Sadhu. You like the incense, though. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, So we can get ready the puja offering after this. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Good. Start with that tree. That tree. The incense, clear water and candle tree. Start with that tree. Never mind. Make the offering first. Offer to Buddha first. Then I will just touch it to make the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Offer the candle, the long candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The fireball. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall do the puja chanting. You can turn to page 4. We will chant the Vandana. Before that, we will pay respect to Triple Jam. All ังสัมมาสัมพุทโธภะคะวาพุทธังภะคะวันตังอภิวาเทมิสุขะโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมธัมมังนมัสสามิสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนมามิโอเค you can be seated then we will begin the Buddha Puja Chanting นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะBuddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi DutiyampiSaranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami.อาทินาทานเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิคามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุรามิรยามัจจาปะมาดัทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ We will now chant the Patipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapatitena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhangPujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dokpenahang sukanghina Pujaye pujaniyangtang puja bacchanamuttamang vanna ganda gunopetangเอตังกสุมสันตทินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาระสโรโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามัตเตนาเชโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิตังเมอายุตัตตายติวินาสบาวัมอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริกาปิตังอนุกัปปังอุปาดายะปฏิกันหัตตุมุตตมังTurn to page 18, the last page. We shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make this aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring all the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruit. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all this merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall end the puja by paying salutation to the Tripuja. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Now we can have our usual meditation. What about your friend, Amy? She, Susanna. You or Susanna, you understand the Buddhist teaching a little bit or not? Oh, good. You are from HGB? Oh, that's easy. Okay. That is easy. This Thursday class actually is a meditation class. What we do is after the puja, we will have about 20 minutes of sitting meditation. Then, if you are new, I can give you some instruction as how to prepare your mind to develop this meditation. Then later on, I can give you this book. There's a blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. There are also some related good transcript books based on the talk that I delivered. You can also have them, it's for free distribution. The puja is to allow us to develop the spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, the five spiritual faculties, because these are prerequisite mind state to understand the Buddha's teaching and to develop the meditation. It also helps us to overcome the five mental hindrance that hinders living beings' mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why the puja is very important. And through the faith, you also develop the understanding of who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is. So that this faith can become very strong. Then understanding who he is and how special the teaching is will give you a type of understanding that this teaching is so beautiful, so important, and the Buddha is so wise. If you cultivate his teaching, it will bring about possibility of enlightenment. It can also bring about great transformation in you and give rise to great benefits for you to have the good life in this world. It will lead to the understanding of life, clear understanding of what life is. Then when you understand life, you know how to live. Thereby developing the wisdom to be a blessing to all. So these are the important understanding. And once the faith is developed and you understand the importance of this teaching, you will develop the second spiritual faculty of virya, which is a spiritual zeal that drives you to cultivate, to train your mind. That's how the third spiritual faculty of sati come to be. So this meditation is about training the mind to develop sati, which is the silent mind before the knowing, the awareness before the knowing, before the mental chattering or mental verbalization within. So when sati is developed, you have to stabilize it. This is what the meditation training is all about. After you have stabilized it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the fourth spiritual faculty. It's the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Then with sati and samadhi, you will have clarity. Your mind is very clear, very peaceful, very calm, very silent, and just aware. That's why you can see things as they are, hence giving rise to the wisdom or the understanding, which is panya, the fifth or the last spiritual faculty. So this is how the whole of the meditation can develop. Okay, now for those who already know how to meditate, you go ahead. For those who are new or who need instruction, I will give you a little bit of very short instruction as how you can train your mind. Most people, they are heedless because they think a lot, and the reason being the mental hindrance are very strong. The five mental hindrance are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. All this make the mind restless, lack of peace, think a lot because of the habitual tendency, because of the wrong view. So in order to calm it down, a very good skillful means is the mind sweeping method, which can help you decondition all this heedless thinking, habitual thinking. You make sure you have a stable posture, then relax body and mind, then check your backbone, make sure it's straight, close your eye, silence everything, and just maintain attention at your forehead. Then you feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You should silently relax into it. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep the mind down to your eye muscle. The eye muscle, you just do the same silence your mind, feel, then relax. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax into it. Then you move this particular attention down to your facial muscle. Feel, don't think. Relax into it. Every tension, stress within, you just feel it and suddenly relax it. Then in order to assist you to develop this ability to calm yourself down, you can develop this skillful means of visualizing yourself radiating a radiant smile, facing a mirror. When you can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of peace. Then you can radiate this joy in the form of metta or loving kindness. You can recite as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you radiate, you must feel your own body and mind having this well-being and happiness. Means feel it, don't just verbalize it. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cell of your physical body and your mind, entire being. Then you can continue to radiate metta. May to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free of all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and non-trouble. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then you radiate. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can repeat this metta and repeat it to your loved ones. May all loved ones too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then you can radiate the same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all Kayanamitas, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then finally, we will radiate to all beings within the entire existence. May all beings within the whole of Subhanjaya, Petalingjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth, Southeast Asia, solar system, all beings within our solar system, our galaxy and Milky Way. Then, may all beings within the entire existence or universe, May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be free from all suffering. May their body to be free from all harms and danger and all mental suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just silence everything and feel, relax them all. Then you move your attention to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then move on to your chest area or heart area. Here you can detect any vibration within or any heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay there. If you can't, then it's okay. You just feel and relax. Just like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area and relax deep into it. Feel it suddenly relax. Then you move your attention down your stomach. Do the same. Feel, relax. Then abdomen, do the same. Just feel, relax. Buttock, leg, do the same. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from your leg to your buttock. You feel, relax, then abdomen, feel, relax, don't think. Then you move it up to your stomach, feel, relax, do the same. The chest, do the same. Just feel, relax. Then after that, you move back to your hand, shoulder, neck, facial muscle, feel, relax them all. Then eye muscle, do the same. Then your forehead. By now, you should already be more calm and peaceful. This mind sweeping method will allow you to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be, then to just feel and don't think. This will decondition your heedless thinking and train your mind so that it can be at the location you want it to be. Then after that, you can stabilize this mindfulness that you have developed. You can develop anapanasati. If you don't have any method of meditation or skillful means that can help you train. Otherwise, you can use whatever technique or method that you are familiar with. Anapanasati is very simple. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You feel the breathing in front of your nostril, just like you feel your forehead, you just feel. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Whenever your mind detects the breath, just flow with it, be with it. Mind and awareness move as one. This mind, which is the awareness, is aware of the in and out breath. So the breath and the awareness move as one. So breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. If you are new, you will find it difficult because the mind, which has been heedless for so long, will wander off. But be patient. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. If you are patient enough, not long, the mindfulness will stabilize and your anapanasati will develop. Then the mind will settle down and become very calm and very peaceful, and you will experience a type of spiritual joy or calmness which they call piti. When piti arises, you will like to meditate. Then as you relax further into it, piti will become sukha. Sukha is a spiritual state of bliss, very blissful. Then you continue to relax into it, allow it to develop further. This mind will slow down until it finally becomes very quiet, very still. The tranquility state of mind, which is stillness, or the silent mind, is called paucity. When that arises, your meditation will be very different. You will understand what the silent mind is. And this is the mind that you need to train and develop so that you can be in this meditative state throughout the day later on. Mindfulness that is stabilized can become very beautiful. The ever state, ever mindful state of mind can lead to what they call heedfulness. To be heedful is to be ever mindful of the cultivation, the meditation, the Noble Eightfold Path, that is the Fourth Noble Truth as taught by the Buddha. When you combine this mind that is trained to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop wisdom and understanding. That is heedfulness, apamada. Once you are able to be heedful, enlightenment in the here and the now is guaranteed. So it's not difficult. Okay, I will leave it to you to develop the meditation, to train your mind. Then after that, you just silent everything and develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then you will witness, you will bear witness of all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. They will arise within your own five aggregate of form and mind. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Then you can slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Thank you. For those who have had enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. We shall now do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the invocation in English, and after that we will get Ingby to help us chant. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching of the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teachings of the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching of the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Bhaddanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Bhaddanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Bhaddanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Buddhassa Namo Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddha O Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Ma Sambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Kaliko Ehi Paseko Panaiko Pachatam Veditato Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Saukasango Ah bahuneyo, bahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaneyo, anudaram punyaketang lokasati, sadhu, sadhu.Pay respect to Pajam. Bhutang Pajam. Dhammang Pajam. Sanghang Pajam. Okay.You can be seated, then just relax yourself. We shall continue with our second session. Second session normally is meditation reporting, unless you got any particular meditation question or reporting, you can.Share or ask. Otherwise, today we're supposed to go into this topic called Mangala Sutta. You look at the whiteboard. Mangala Sutta, the meaning is Sutta on blessing, what constitute blessings. So this is a very important sutta that Sakyamuni Buddha had actually during his time, 2600 years ago,explain to the devas and all the monks at that time very clearly what constitute true blessings. And understanding what constitute true blessing is very important for living beings to develop the good life, the noble life, and the understanding of how all these blessings, when it's cultivated, it canhelp you tremendously to walk the path of Dhamma, and it can also bring forth great condition for you to understand life, to develop all the appropriate action, speech and thought, following Noble Eightfold Path, to live the noble life. Then from then onward, all these blessings will come back to you in the form of great blessingsAnd you will be like a very blessed person. Like in our society, when you see somebody doing very well, everything go their way, their life are very beautiful, like they are very blessed. So you always tell them, oh, you really very blessed, you are blessed with everything. All of the good things in life.Then they say, you are so blessed. You are blessed with good career, good wife, beautiful wives, then good financial support or good financial stability that enable you to have early financial freedom so that you can retire early to live the good life, to do the things that you want to do in life.So all these constitute great blessings. So when you congratulate somebody for having a very good life, means that person is like blessed with many, many things. So this is a very meaningful sutta. Okay, before we start this sutta, do you have any meditation reporting or question that you want to ask?Regarding meditation or the teaching. Anybody, you can use the mic. You can just report your meditation and ask any question. Anybody? As usual, all quiet. Ingvi will ask.
Just now, before we break for the meditation.
When
you finishing the guided meditation,
during
the last few length, and then this background sound,
now
no more, I don't
know
why.
Just now it was very a very, loud. Very strong and very loud.
Now no more, only except this.
I know.
How come now no more?
That's why.
It was quite irritating.
You asked Papa Suri.
Oh, I see. So,
well, because there was an instrument.
So I was while I was meditating, this background sound is made me quite unpleasant.
I was aware,
like fighting with it. After that, I said, give up. How come this sound doesn't bother me, but that one yes.
Okay.
So I just aware, and then
then what happened?
I quiet down. I tried. I silent down, and then very funny. I said, how come?
No.
That sound is still there. It's there. How come it's synchronized with my breathing?
Oh, very good.
When I breathe in, as long as the sound coming.
Yeah.
At first, one breathe in the sound, and
very
then
good.
One breathe out. After that, slowly two breathe in.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how many breathe out. I don't know. Lost count. It's just synchronized. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
And then I can feel the heartbeat.
Very good.
That's why I thought if nobody asks question after that, I want to bring out this.
This is a good one, Sadhu. You say, luckily it be us. Many people are affected by all this type of thing, but today one is a very good test for most of you, because even though you have cultivated for a while, but that type of so-called vibration is within the environment. Is within the background and is quite strong today. That's why it is a good test for those who really want to develop the condition to test themselves. And it's meant to be. That's why for her case, initially she realized that there is this feeling like the vibration is unpleasant because the mind couldn't harmonize with it. Then later on, as she starts to develop the acceptance of it, she just continued to silence. Then she realized, all of a sudden when you don't have any aversion towards it or dislike towards it, then there is this condition that arises for you to have the understanding of how it harmonizes, because she is very good at the breathing and anapanasati. Then later on, she also can develop the silent mind. So when that distraction is no more, you know what that distraction is? Is a hindrance of mind. Sensual desire and ill will, although the slight subtle dislike or aversion towards the vibration, that will actually stir the mind. It is a hindrance. It will hinder you from entering the meditative state. Even you have trained because of what happened, because this vibration is a very different one. It's not the normal vibration where you can just take it in. This one is like in the background, like that one, creating a lot of separate vibration. And the vibration is not the soothing type one. It's just like an undercurrent that disturb the normal flow of Dhamma and vibration. So if you don't have this understanding, you cannot come to terms with the realities of whatever that arise. Just like when Padmasuri's daughter was mentioning something just now at the dinner, after we had the dinner. Then I explained to her how your mind develop all this like and dislike, then how it condition you into this type of views and opinion. You were attached to things that you like to listen or like to eat or like to listen, eat and taste. Then even your breathing, the sense, smell, tactile, same. It's because you have craving. You don't have craving, all this like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant conditioning will not go into your brain. It will not accumulate. Yeah. Then you will come to understand a very distinct, clear difference between what you like, which is one aspect of your form and mind. Then the other one is your habitual tendency or your like and dislike that you develop through your heedless thinking when you are not aware that habitual tendency that comes about through your craving. So when you have craving without understanding, without the mindfulness or the heedfulness, all this will accumulate into your character, your personality, your habitual tendency. So when you like something, you eat without mindfulness and awareness, you will develop the liking for it through your craving, because you crave for that type of food. But when you have the understanding, it's different. When there is condition to have it, you will eat it, you will experience it, and you can even be with that moment to really experience that beautiful moment. But there is no attachment. Then even when it is something that you last time used to be don't like or have aversion towards, like whatever happened, because your mind has developed that understanding and that training, just like I told you all about 30 years ago. One day, because I like coffee, remember? I like coffee a lot. Then there was one day, my wife, usually I ask her to make me a coffee. Then that day, I think it was meant to be a test. All of a sudden, when I was tasting that coffee, because I was very mindful, the moment I taste, I knew there was no sugar inside. And that was the first time I drink coffee without sugar. Normal people will react. What type of coffee is this? You forgot to put sugar, you have reacted. And very funny, taste it. I just laugh inside, smile. I knew what happened. Then I told my wife, I said, you come, you have a taste. Then only she realized there was no sugar. So it has not become craving, because he understand condition like that, he will be like that. Like I explained to Paramasuri's daughter, I said, because of craving, due to your lack of awareness or mindfulness or heedfulness, it becomes a habitual tendency and you react automatically. Then your like and dislike become a craving, positive and negative craving, and you got no control. So whatever that arise, I told her, there are causes and conditions behind. If it's like that, it is going to be like that. Then when you experience it, if you have this like and this like craving, what will happen? You will react to it and become miserable and unhappy and develop the unpleasant feeling. If it's something that you like, you will attach, crave, cling and love it so much. Then suddenly if it's disrupted, like nice music, you stir, you react. That is what craving is all about. So I told her, life is very simple. You got two choices. Whatever that arise, if you already have the conditioning, the habitual tendency, the wrong view, you must be mindful, just like what the Buddha said. When you are mindful, then you can develop the understanding and straighten your view and overcome all this. If you are not mindful, you will be drawn into it. Then, like I told her, you got two choices. First, react, become miserable, follow your views and opinion, your conditioning. Then, throughout life, you will be oscillating between like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, sexual, and that's why you have a lot of mental stirring, reaction. And that is not life. Because you cannot be at peace most of the time. Because the world is the world. People is just the way it is. Nature's vibration is going to be like that. It's going to be like that. Like just now what happened. So when you understand that, you have to learn to accept things as they are. Learn to develop the right view to straighten your wrong view so that the next time you listen or you taste, eat, experience, you will not do that anymore because you know you got two choices. And it is a better choice if whatever state that arises, you can accept it, be at peace with it, and develop the wholesomeness or what they call beautiful experience out of it. Even if it's some very unpleasant vibration or taste or whatever. To do that, you must have that understanding, that clarity of mind, the silence to be with it. As I remember last time I used to tell you at the retreat, don't try to know, don't try to do anything in the meditation. Whatever that arises, if it stirs your mind, just be with it. Then you find out what happened. When you are be with it, it's just like the third way that the Buddha taught. You silence your mind and just stay silent. Without any mental energy or interference of like and dislike, or thought to create the views and opinion, there will be peace, there will be harmony. The mind and the vibration will become one. Then there is acceptance through an understanding. Even like your anger, your fear, when it's there, it's a conditioned arising state. Likewise, all this vibration, they are conditioned arising state. So you have to be patient, you have to endure, you have to stay with it. So when you stay with it, means be with it. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. And then within that silence, the oneness nature will arise. Then when you can be with everything, you are so beautiful. You will be at peace with every situation. Then your mind loses its power to delude you, to condition you into like and dislike, craving and other things, then you will know how to live. Live life in accordance with whatever causes and conditions that has a reason. That's why you will know how to accord and flow. And that is the ultimate understanding. Meditation is about understanding all this movement. Everything is just the way it is, just like the Buddha already explained, suchness, tatata, the way things are. But nowadays, new terminology created by modern teachers or guides, like Jay Krishnamurti, Bhayan Kathy, even some monks and nuns, they are starting to use this word, what is. Which is the reality. Even the Australian nun who was trained under the Korean tradition, he is going to give a talk on what is though. He is trying to share with you the great challenges of accepting what is. He called it a challenge, where it's not easy to do. Embracing what is. So the title is Embracing the Challenges of What Is. What is the reality. You can embrace that reality, you are at peace. But she called it a challenge, you know, because it is something completely opposite of what living being want, because you have craving. You cannot accept things as they are. You cannot accept many things in this world. Sometimes you become so intolerant. You can't even accept what people say about you or your religion. or your God, or your belief system, or even comment about you, your personality, your character, or sometimes your neighbor say something negative about the way you behave, because of the ego, your mind can never come to terms with that reality. That's why embracing what is not easy. He used the word embracing the challenges of what is. So all this understanding, as you develop the training of the mind, as you develop the wisdom, you will come to a point where there is clarity. Then, like I mentioned to her, Paramahansa's daughter, you got two choices. When you have this understanding, you will know what to do. What are the two choices? You accept what is the reality, you are at peace. You don't accept, you the other choice, react and become miserable. Which you prefer? Which one you prefer? Accept or react? But in life, you think you can do it or not? Say easy, you know, accept lah. But when they really step on your tail that time, or your toe that time, you react differently. Your thought will tell you different thing. How can that guy do that to me? Who the hell he think he or she is? Because the egoic mind, the anger, the emotion, the reaction. The mind has this conditioning, has this wrong view. That's why the Buddha said, attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind, trigger of suffering. It is this five aggregate of grasping that I call suffering. And what is this grasping? This grasping is your positive and negative craving. And in this particular case, which five aggregate is involved? The background sound. Your perception, the aggregate of perception. When you perceive it with negativity, what happens? The dislike arises. The unhappiness arises. Why do you react to it? Because you have negative craving towards it. You don't like that vibration. And who created that like and dislike? Your views, your opinion, your personal conditioning. Because when you meditate, you want to be peaceful. You want to be calm. Just like certain type of vipassana you all went through. They cannot even tolerate the slightest noise or sound. If you are conditioned until like that, then what is meditation to you? You don't understand what is meditation. Meditation is to develop the wisdom or the training to be at peace with everything. You can't even tolerate the slightest irritation, and you expect to be enlightened with that type of meditation. You become so deluded to the extent that you have no peace when you come out into society. Because society is not what you think. In the retreat, everybody give 5 to 8 precepts. You got the monk that give 227, and none like this one coming, they give 300 over. And that's why you can be peaceful. But when you come out into life and society, society is such that most of the living being or human being, they don't keep precept on, most of them. So how are you going to have peace? In retreat also, you cannot tolerate that type of lack of peace. Because somebody makes some sound or talk or external vibration come, you become so upset, so intolerant. Then who is the one meditating? The thought. That's why the thought has all this movement. But the true mind has no such movement. The true mind is just aware. Aware before the knowing. How come the moment you know through this brain, the memory, all this hindrance, reaction, evil start? The so-called emotion, the mental state. That's why the 52 mental states of Sankara start. That's why Sanya and Sankara, these two aggregate, very powerful. The other one is feeling. That's why at the moment of contact, feeling arise. Without wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you cannot be at peace upon contact. Feeling will automatically become craving because you lack wisdom. But when you have wisdom, understanding, and you have straightened your view, and you know you got two choices, react, become miserable, or at peace through an understanding, then feeling will remain as pure feeling. It will not stir. It will not become craving. It will not make you what they call oscillate within the two duality. So all this is meditation when you understand. So what Ingby asked was very good. He shared this experience. Then later on she found the answer because it synchronized, harmonized with the breathing. Then it doesn't disturb her. Then she continued to meditate. Then the heartbeat came. Then because she can silent and without the stethoscope, without anything, she can detect the heartbeat. Then the awareness of that bring her back to the true mind. The true mind that is without thought, without stirring, will be at peace. That's why peace is within, not without. When you deludedly attach, cling, hold, and react, then you blame outside. That just now I told Pama Suri's daughter. If you reflect and develop the gratitude towards people who has given you all this, then you will have a good mind. But if you reflect through the egoic mind and try to justify your reaction, then you blame everything. The first one was very good, she said, because she always complained she too plump already, flat, fat, a bit fat. So she said, my mother cook very good food. The food is so good until they it cannot be, I don't eat this. The craving for that good food is very good. Is it? Then the blame is on the mother cooking good food. Oh, instead of gratitude. Huh? But then later on I explained to her, I said, if you perceive that way, then it's the mind, the egoic mind coming out. Because it is you, nothing to do with the world. The world is the world. You are being blessed because your good karma born into this family with good mother who cooks so good a food. A lot of people can't even get their mother to cook good food for them. But you have so good an opportunity. That's why she said she, after coming back for the last few weeks, she was thinking to stay back, don't want to go Bible study anymore. So I say all these are from the thought. So when you start to understand, when you develop the understanding, then you understand life. You got two choices. React and become miserable or point finger, blame. If you do that, you never learn. You will never straighten your view. It is always other people's fault, not your fault. I say craving is your own manifestation. If you value your health, you can have good food. Not to say you cannot have, but you don't overeat. You don't crave for it. When there is condition, come back, eat. But don't have to eat until you got problem with even lying down. Then there is overeating. You eat to experience where there is condition to have them. But you don't crave for them. It's when there is no condition, it's okay. Let things be. Then when you are back in your university or the place you have your study, where it's away from home, initially it's always like that. You have yet to settle down to get used to the food there, the environment, the people there. So initially you would think of home. It's very natural. The mind behaves that way. But when you have the Dhamma and the understanding, you know all these are conditioned arising state. There is an adjustment phase. But if you have known and understood this from the early day, then when you go there, you will not react. Understand? The new environment, you will react. You are not familiar with all those conditions there, the culture, the people. So a lot of things can be shocking to you. Then the mind always recall what is comfortable back home. Oh, back home, everything is so beautiful, provided for. So the mind develops attachment, craving. When you understand how you function as a human being, you will have the ability to straighten your view and develop that understanding so that you can be peaceful anywhere, any place, anytime, under any circumstances. Because that is the reality. That is suchness. That is what is. You cannot embrace what is, which is the reality. Suffering will arise. When you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. Okay. Yeah. Pass the mic. Yeah, I can. Sadhu to Alicia. She want to share something. Yeah, very good.
Regarding the sound that Sir MB was telling, initially I used to have all this, but as I perceive the sound, I always give myself a smile, and then I will just enjoy the noise, and then it will just cease to be. And then,
very good.
And then just now during my meditations, I don't know I should report this or not.
It's okay. No problem.
As I just meditate, 我可以讲华语。
啊，可以用华语讲。 better. Then I
translate. Always 我可以感觉到我的身体，就是我 aware of 我的头到我的脚。
啊，very good.
然后今天呢，就是我在 meditation 的时候。 其实我感觉到我的 awareness 跟我的这个身体好像，该怎么说？那就是那个身体好像很轻，可是那个 awareness 很清楚，很清楚，就是这样子。Sadhu,
very light, very good, very good. We let us rejoice, Sadhu. Then I will translate. She mentioned some very good understanding that came through her own meditative experiences and cultivation. She said, last time, all this type of noise or vibration from nature, not necessary like today at meditation only, any type of noise, because of her condition earlier on, she used to have this type of reaction, unhappiness. Then there is this aversion towards them. But ever since she developed the understanding of the Dhamma, after she have had the ability to develop those type of awareness-based meditation that allow her to understand so much and straighten her view, she can be at peace with it, not a problem anymore. And she settled down very fast. Then just now she said she wanted to share one very good experience that she went through today. She said normally she meditate, she will know how to feel her body and mind, the awareness and the body. And when she feel, today it was as usual, very beautiful. He can feel that the body is like very light. You know what is very light? No stress, no problem. Everything is like very light. Means there is a lot of peace, a lot of joy. Then a lot of awareness, calmness, stillness, silence. Then not only the body is very light, very clear, the awareness also is very clear. every moment, every instant of it is so beautiful. When she is fully aware within her kaya, then the kaya has the senses. Whatever that arises at the base, sense basis, even like the hearing or what, that clarity or awareness can be with the moment, at the moment of sense experience, no problem. Because she is silent. She is just aware. That's why that mind that is trained is very different. That has the wisdom and the understanding is very different. It can just take in everything. Because there is no word. Thing is just the way it is. The reality is. That's why the isness of thing, what is. That silence can be with the moment, with anything. Whether it's a thought, a vibration, or a sense perception. It can just stay there. It does not proliferate. It does not stir. Today I send out one sharing on Tuchu Putula, Ajahn Chah's talk. How many of you have read it? You should read it. It's a very good talk. He has his good understanding. One day I will go through with you. He also talked about how the attachment to this fire aggregate and how the mind, the conditioned mind, not the true mind, but he don't use the word the true mind. He used the other two words. He used the one who knows as the true mind, means the awareness. Then the other one is the conditioned arising mind. And he also knows conditioned arising one. Then he said, this conditioned arising one is the one that proliferate. Proliferate, you know, proliferate. The thinking continue, non-stop, proliferate. And this is the one that is the cause of suffering. And this is impermanent, leading to suffering if you want things your way. Because this one has a lot of views and opinion, a lot of reaction. Don't have the Dhamma, the understanding to accept the reality of the form, the physical. Don't understand what that mind is. That's why finally is it. Even that mind is also not you. Not only the body, not you. The mind, the conditioned arising mind, also not you. Then he shared a lot of those essential Dhamma which he had developed through the understanding of meditation. He also developed daily mindfulness. He said you have to be ever mindful. He used the word. That's why without that daily mindfulness, ever mindful, in the midst of life, you cannot awaken. The real meditation cannot arise. So these are very beautiful sharing by people who has already gone through the cultivation. So with this sharing, hopefully you all can benefit from it and develop a more in-depth understanding of the Dhamma so that you can reflect, contemplate and go deep into it. With this sharing, you read that Tuchu Putula, Ajahn Chah sharing. You will be very beautiful. It's sent to the My Kayana Mitra site. I think most of you are registered. If you are not registered, you can contact some of the Dhamma friends. They can give you the link that Brother Suyan every time advise people to just send an email note to that link. Then you will be automatically registered with the My Kayana Mitra website. Then you can receive all this sharing. So once again, we rejoice with Ingby and Sister Alicia for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, with that, we go into Mangala Sutta. So that is a very good first sharing session. Okay, now Mangala Sutta There are two versions here. One version is, this one is better than the text. I think Padmasri has put in the effort to put in the Mandarin also. She must have got it from the internet. Sister Indiana, oh, Sadhu, very good. Oh. So this one is from that book, that Chief Reverend's handbook, I think, devotional. Oh, the title also gone. Daily Buddhist Devotion by our late K. Sri Dhammananda, our late Chief Reverend Brickfield. Then the last page is from that chart. I told you, the pot at the back, the red color. So you can compare the two. Sometimes the translation, the words differ. But the meaning is more important. Not so much of the words. That's why Dhamma is your interpretation of that translation is very important. You don't have the realization and the understanding, you cannot. Because you will translate literally based on the English word that you see or read. Then the meaning can be way out. So that's why Dhamma is something that is very precise. And when it's understood, the meaning is very clear and very different. So we go through the first page, the discourse on what constitute true blessing, Mangala Sutta. Man, together with dainties, tried to find out for 12 years what blessing was. But they could not find out the blessing, which number 38, that are the cause of happiness. So supreme blessings are very, very important. If you know what they are, then you know how to work towards it and cultivate it, then it will improve your life tremendously. It will benefit you in a great way. It will help you in your cultivation. Let us recite those blessings which were taught by the dainty of the dainties, taught by the Buddha to the dainties, for the benefits of beings and which destroy all evil. Oh, this is a different translation. Oh. Luckily, I got bring the Chief Reverend. Never mind, I read to you the Chief Reverend. Page 95. I will read the introduction also. Mangala Sutta, based on this daily Buddhist devotion by our late Chief K. Sri Dhammananda. The Buddha uttered the following sutta to explain the attainment of real blessing. The sutta itself tells us of the background and significance of this famous discourse called Mangala Sutta. The Buddha clarified the doubts of the devas when they wanted to know what constitutes real blessing or true blessing. In the Buddhist sense, a blessing is not something which is given by a divine being, but a state of well-being which arises within oneself when one lives life righteously. Live life righteously, maintain human dignity, and create a healthy environment. It is customary to recite this sutta on auspicious occasion. This sutta is not just for recital. Devotees must also understand its meaning. Bear in mind, understand its meaning, and then put its principle into practice. Achancha also in the Tuchuputala, he said the great support for Dhamma, to walk the path of Dhamma, is Patipati Puja. Patipati is second phase of Dhamma, to put the Dhamma into practice in daily life. And that one you have to do like a puja, devotion. You have to devote your life to cultivate that. And that is the real support. So here, Chief Reverend mentioned the same. Devotee must also understand its meaning and put it into practice, its principle into practice. It is only by practicing or cultivating the advice given in this sutta that one can receive true blessing. Here we find the ethical, moral, and spiritual teachings of the teacher or master for the guidance of devotees. The discourse tells us that the Buddha's teachings are not confined to the philosophical and psychological aspect of the religion, but extend to the field of social service and the cultivation of self-discipline. Since these verses are supposed to be the original words of the Buddha, Buddhist devotion have high respect and confidence in them. Okay, we go into the sutta proper. Thus have I heard on one occasion the Blessed One was dwelling at Anandapindika Monastery in the Jeta Grove near Savatthi. When the night was far spent, a certain deities whose surpassing splendor illuminated the entire Jeta Grove came to the presence of the Blessed One and drew near, respectfully saluted, and stood at one side. Standing thus, he addressed the Blessed One in verse. So this was how the Mangala Sutta came about. The Deva asked, many deities and men yearning after good have pondered upon what constitutes true blessing. Pray tell us the supreme blessings. Then Sakyamuni Buddha delivered this discourse. He started by reciting this very important advice. He said not to associate or follow the fools. That is the first supreme blessing. Then, not to associate with the fools. Oh, sorry, that one is the first one. Not to follow or associate with the foolish or fools or heedless one. That is the first supreme blessing. Then, to associate with the wise. That constitutes the second supreme blessing. Then, the third supreme blessing is to honor those who are worthy of honor. The worthy one. Those that are worthy of respect, honor. This constitutes supreme blessings. Then he goes on, to reside in a suitable locality is also a supreme blessing. So this unsuitable locality means what? Means what? You stay in a locality where? You can come into contact with the Triple Gem where the teaching can be available for you to develop the understanding. So locality is very important. Like you stay in a very unsuitable locality, like in those countries where there is no Dhamma, or even got Dhamma also hardly practice. We are very little cultivating Buddhists and they don't have any center or place where you can develop this cultivation and understanding. So having the good karma to be able to stay in a locality that is conducive for you to meet up with the Triple Gem and develop the cultivation constitutes supreme blessing. Because the moment you have that condition, somehow you will benefit from it. Even going there to make offering, pay respect, listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, develop the joy, the wholesomeness, then share merit, transfer. You will be doing the 10 meritorious action. and been having the condition as mentioned by Sakyamuni Buddha here, the locality of the place that you are in is so conducive, that constitutes supreme blessing. So most of us have this, otherwise you won't be able to attend all this, even those who stay near to HJBA, or any way place where you can have the Dhamma. Then to have done meritorious section in the past, and this is very useful and very important, and it constitutes supreme blessing. Most of us have that. Otherwise, you will never come to this path, walk this way to develop the cultivation. You need a lot of merits actually, a lot of blessing for you to find the Dhamma, for you to have affinity with the Triple Gem. And to have set oneself on the right course towards emancipation or liberation or enlightenment means you have made that determination to walk this way because you know this is important. The teaching of the Buddha can bring forth great transformation in you, can change your life very beautifully. And when you understand who the Buddha is and how wise he is and how special his teaching is, you will have great faith in him and you will determine to walk this way. That's how Saddha followed by Virya come about. The faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, then it will spur you to walk this way. The spiritual zeal will arise. The spiritual tenacity to develop the understanding and to cultivate. So to have set oneself on the right course towards liberation or enlightenment and emancipation, this constitutes supreme blessing. So it's not that difficult. Huh? This one just determined to go this way. But you have to be sincere. Huh? Then it constitutes supreme blessing. Then the next one is vast learning, perfect handicraft, and a highly trained discipline. Vast learning here means you have developed a lot of understanding of life, a lot of skills that are very useful to mankind, that can be a blessing to many. Then perfect handicraft is you are very skillful in certain aspects of handicraft that can actually help in many ways. It can bring about progress in society. Then that skill can be passed down. Then people can learn and improve on it. So whatever that you are good at and you have developed the perfection of it. So that's why perfect handicraft constitutes supreme blessing. And a highly trained discipline means you really adhere to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. You not only keep your precept, no, to abstain from all those five precepts, especially the fourth precept. We undertake the training rule to abstain from telling lies or making the inappropriate speeches, the four type of wrong speech. What are they apart from lying? The first one is harsh speech. Speak violently, angrily, emotionally. Then backbiting. Say bad things about people behind their back. Then the other one is heedlessly say those frivolous speech or sweet nothing. you just like praise people. Wow, today you look so beautiful. Wow, you are so helpful. But you don't mean it inside. then you see a lot of frivolity. Oh, if I had known that, I would have arranged for you to come over and help me and do all these things for me. I didn't know you have all those skills. So all this, they have motive behind what they want. So instead of doing all this, which is only keeping your precept to avoid all evil, you have to develop the positive and nobleness of it. So here it is mentioned, a highly trained discipline to abstain from all the violating of all the precept. Then you at the same time develop the ennobler of right speech. You speak pleasantly, pleasant. That's why I say good, pleasant and gentle speeches that can bring about harmony, understanding, blessing to all. This constitutes supreme blessing. That's why cultivating right speech, right action, they constitute great blessing and even arising of right thought. Then the next one is easy to do, huh? The support of father and mother. You can support them in whatever way. It is one of the best way to actually repay them your gratitude towards them for what they have done for you since birth until now. For they give you life, they care for you, they sacrifice for you, they love you so much. They supported you all the way when you are sick. They care for you. And sometimes certain parents, they sacrifice so much for their children out of love. So you must have gratitude towards them. And the best way to repay them is to support them when they are in their old age, when they are sick, when they are weak, when they need support. So this is one of the supreme blessing. That's why I don't complain. A lot of children, they never reflect and contemplate. One parent, you call two parents or one parent. Two parents, father and mother, two. Two parents can look after so many children. But so many children cannot look after one father and mother. I was just told a very sad story yesterday by a very close friend. Oh, PG was with me. Remember Sam? He said he has a cousin sister in Penang. He just attended her funeral. Just came back and he came to know. It was a very sad case. The husband 2 years ago had a slip disc, then somehow deteriorated. They didn't get the correct medical attention, then became bedridden. Then the wife got to look after him. Then they were actually financially quite okay. Their children all grown up already, working already, also financially quite well to do. And also stay near Penang, one on the island and one on Subang Prai. But the thing is, this couple somehow didn't understand life, didn't plan for their life. At first she thought, the cousin sister thought the husband would pass away before her. But because she overworked, then not enough rest, end up she herself got heart attack and just died. So it's very pitiful. And according to them, none of the children invited them to stay with them. They can afford maid, but they didn't. Then they can actually look for a proper home for the husband to stay in, so that there is this attention and all. But because they lack this support of father and mother, And this constitutes supreme blessing, though. Yet the children don't know how to do. And the parent also is a sad case. It's a very, very pitiful case. Because they have the means, but they don't know how to make use of the wealth that they have. And the condition that they have. One of the reasons could be most parents, they went through hard life. They are very thrifty in their approach to life. And they sort of save and save and save. Everything is for the children. So after they have grown up successful, and yet they still have that type of mentality. That's why you don't have the Dhamma. You don't know how to plan your life. You can end up that way. And you cannot blame anybody for that. Because life is just the way it is. Each and every one, they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma, understand not? And you are what you are because of your karma. We are in the past. The cousin sister and the husband also, very likely, I used to it. They also never supported their parents. And that's just like what their children is doing now. So later on in future, when there is condition, you will have children who never support you too. That's why this constitutes supreme blessing. If you do it for your parents, when their time comes, you will have all the support. And not only that, the next one is cherishing of spouse. The wife is wrong. Spouse means husband or wife. And children. And have peaceful occupation. This constitutes supreme blessing. Means you must really cherish your family members. Love them. Support them. Take care of them. Then develop the family unit so that there is harmony, there is love, there is joy, there is peace within the family. And the family unit can become very beautiful when each and everyone support each other, develop the Dhamma understanding, and contribute towards its unity and harmony. Then the family unit will become very beautiful, very meaningful. As opposed to a family unit that is always in disorder, chaos, arguments, misunderstanding, cannot see eye to eye. That type of family unit is a misery. That's why a lot of them, one by one, they walk out of the house. End up, nobody want to come home. So, without Dhamma, condition can be miserable. Things can be miserable. That's why suffering is a noble truth. First noble truth reality. So always remember, you have a duty towards supporting your own parents and cherishing your own spouse and children. Then cultivate peaceful occupation means your livelihood, the way you live your life. It is a very peaceful time, not the one that leads to negativity, suffering. All these constitute supreme blessing. Then the next one is very important, liberality. Liberality, I explained before, that day Yun Chan's house. How many of you didn't attend Yun Chan's house, Dana? Oh, quite a number. Liberality means you have a very liberal view of things, but based on Dhamma understanding. You are very liberal in the sense that you don't force or coerce your children or your spouse, or even your subordinate or your staff or your worker to do things that they don't like to do or that is against their moral principle. Because they are alive, they have the right to decide how they want to live their life, especially towards your children. Don't always try to control them. You go and listen to a recording, Yun Chan's house. Then I gave a very good example then. Okay, the next one is righteous conduct. Righteous conduct is very easy. This one is how you conduct yourself in life, how you arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So your conduct are very, very appropriate and righteous. It does not have the delusion behind. It is not based on selfishness, emotional negativity, and delusion. So this constitutes supreme blessing. The next one is helping of relative and living a blameless life means blameless action. This constitutes supreme blessing. When you can afford, you don't try to become so calculative. My friend that Sam Lim, he used to share with us because financially he is quite okay. So he said he used to share this with us and some other friend. That's why we remember that whatever that money can resolve is not a real problem. So if money cannot resolve, then it's a real problem. But not everybody had that good blessing to have financial support and financial freedom. Understand not? But if you have the condition, then don't be petty. Understand not? Live a blameless life, means what? So that the wise one don't blame you, so that people don't say bad things about you. Otherwise, that thought energy can be very, very detrimental towards your life. So if you can avoid situation, then try your very best if you can have the means. Just like that day, my daughter came back from Singapore, you remember? She drove my car, the Toyota Altis. She said, "Daddy, I want to learn to drive again. So long didn't drive in Singapore." I said, "Take the car and drive." Then like, when it reached certain point near Adria, like I knew something is going to happen. No? Because normally I would take that route straight on. Then she suddenly suggested to me, she said, "We can turn here, traffic light." Oh, I said, "Here also can. You turn." So we turn. Then as we went inside Adria, we realized it's a one-way street. No? Cannot go in. No? Oh, then I knew something is going to happen. But I still let her drive. Then really further up, bam. One four-wheel drive bang into the car. It was that four-wheel drive's fault because he was coming in from a junction. There's a white line there. And my daughter was going straight. And bang. Then I looked, I came down, I looked. Wow, the driver was a young fellow with the wife, with two kids, or two or three kids, small fellow. I think must be not more than 35 years old. I look at him, he panicked out. He like want to say sorry because he couldn't break. Not experienced enough. Then I knew actually my car was, although inside nothing lah, but outside it's not cheap to repair one. Then I know if you claim insurance also, it's going to be a hassle, your car has to be there. Since I can afford, not much, I just tell the guy, I said, "Next time be careful, don't drive like that." I said, "Do you see the white line there?" I said, "If you meet another guy, you have to pay compound fine, you lose your NCB, then you have to make police report, then you have to repair your car. Next time be careful. Otherwise, you are going to have this problem." I said, "Today, you're lucky." I said, "You can go." Then later, I sent the car, 1,002. Not cheap. But it's okay because to me, I can afford. And I have the means, there is nothing to me. So when you can have the means and you can afford it, you can help people resolve problem, you should do it. Understand? Earlier on also, there was one taxi driver. This old man was more cunning. After he begged me, he come down, he want to ask me to compensate him. He said, you know the usual Cantonese one. You drive without iron. Then I look at him. That time he was quite elderly. You know. That time I was still quite young. I was only about 40 years old. Then I asked him, I said, Apang, Liamo Tai Lo. He said, I don't see road. But I asked him back, Liamo Tai Lo. They go pin ya to Park Sin. You come out of the junction, no, I take Lo. Then you know what she did? She saw. No? Then she pretend, ah, Yao Mei, Yao Mei. Oh, ah, Li Ke Chen Moose ya. Oh, Yao Mei Kao Chao Moose the time. Luckily, I speed. Then he banged my back door. No? Then I pity him. You know, his taxi was so old. No? And the old man, no more. I say, Tai Bai, still something. I say, Li Bai, okay. I say, no need to make police report. Otherwise, I say, you gonna. The police summon everything. I say. Then after that, he didn't even say thank you. No? He say, okay, mostly, go to the car and throw off. See, human being are like that. So when you can have the means, you can do many things. Then sometimes you can see situation where you can help out to resolve problem. There was a case in a bank also. I think because of some very small amount of money, you know, don't know, $100 or what. Wow, that private banking client, he was so fierce. Scolded the Maybank officer until she was about to cry. He blamed her for the mistake and all those things. Then I inquire, I said, how much does it cost? Then I told the Maybank officer inside there that just don't argue with him, compensate him, I will pay for the amount. I said, wow, then they were relieved. Then they settle it. That's why sometimes because of $100 used in the bank, in the private banking area, you know, it's cold. Then after pay him and he left, then the officer came out and said, Mr. Teo, thank you. Then I asked her, I said, is it very often you see this type of people? He said, Mr. Teo, not everybody like you. Quite often got like that one. So sometimes you cannot blame them because this is their way, their reaction. They have this view. They want to be right. To them, it's your mistake. You pay for it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. I think it was something like the FD. You know, you remember? The FD. Mature already. This private banking client said, you're supposed to notify me as a bank. You never notify me. Then he come. I think 1.5 months or 2 months later. Then he want to renew. He said, the renewal is today. The rate is different already. Then he said, if like that, I want that 1.5 months interest. He said, no, less than 3 months, no interest. So there was this big hoo-ha. Then later on, I came to know that 1.5 months interest was only $100. That's why I said, you sort out with him, then I reimburse, then everybody happier. So this is something that can happen. But if you can have the means and help resolve all this, after that, the counter staff, she was so relieved. No? She said, thank you, Mr. Teo. Because so many of this pressure and stress, you know, when she go back, you think she will have good sleep. Understand? She's just a bank officer, no? And you say it so loud in front of everybody, no? And like accusing her for making the mistake, no? Then she cannot do anything. She refer to the manager. And the manager come out, try to explain, no? But this client don't care. He said, I don't care. This is not my fault. I'm not going to pay for it, is it? Somebody is going to pay for it. If you meet a situation like that, what happened? Because this will not end here, no. In future life, when the reverse role comes, this client becomes the staff. He will have somebody who will give him back the same type of experience. Maybe a more fierce one also can, possible, I don't know. So in life, please understand that there is such a law as law of karma. Don't always think you have the upper hand. So when you have that understanding, you will know what is right conduct. Then how you must live a blameless life, understand? Blameless action. Then here's a helping relative. It can go beyond relative. Yeah? Helping people that needs help or who has a condition or affinity with you. All this constitute supreme blessing. Oh, we have to move a bit faster, 10 more minutes. Okay. To cease and abstain from all evil, forbearance with respect to intoxicant, and steadfast in virtue, this constitutes supreme blessing. So this one got a lot to do with your precepts. Eh? Means cease and abstain from all evil. Yeah. Forbearance with intoxicant, the fifth precept. Then steadfast in your virtue. Means hold on to your virtue. That's why virtue is real blessing. When you cultivate the Dhamma, you will be incapable of negativity. Means the absence of evil is good. Not try to do good. Asana. When you have virtue, you are incapable of evil. Because virtue are very pure. Absence of the evil roots. Then cultivate reverence. This is very easy. Eh? Then humility, to lower your ego, to be a very humble person. Then develop contentment. These are all great virtue. Then have gratitude and respect for those who are worthy of respect and honor. Then cultivate opportunity, hearing of the Dhamma, means cultivate the habits of listening to the true Dhamma. All this constitutes supreme blessing. Then cultivate patience with understanding, obedience. Then rejoice with the sight of a holy man or a summoner. And hold religious or spiritual discussion at due season or appropriate time. Just like our Tuesday class, Thursday class, and Sunday class. All this constitute supreme blessing. Then self-control means you keep yourself in accordance with your what they call virtue and understanding. Means self-discipline. Means you really have to exercise self-discipline or restraint with respect to all of the precepts that you have undertaken to hold, so that you can live a pure life. Then perception of noble truth, you can awaken. This also constitutes great supreme blessing. The moment you can perceive the noble truth, you will become noble ones or enlightened one. And the realization of Nibbana, which will follow, constitutes supreme blessing. Then he whose mind does not flutter by contact with worldly contingents, means upon contact with the sixth sense door, your mind does not flutter, means you have equanimity of mind, you have samadhi, you have wisdom. Then upon contact with worldly contingents, your mind is always peaceful, sorrowless, stainless and secure. All this constitute supreme blessing. To then fulfilling all this above, you are everywhere invincible. In every way, you move happily. And all this constitute supreme blessing. So this sutta is very meaningful. Yeah? So with that 38 blessing, we covered it. Then you turn to your last page, we see what they write here. Not associating with the unwise, or the fools. This one is the same, isn't it? Associating with the wise. This one also same. Then honoring those worthy of honoring, also same. Then residing in a suitable locality, also same. Then having made merits in the past is the same. Then having set oneself in the right path or direction towards liberation, they did put in. Then broad knowledge, they use different word. It's not broad knowledge. It's very, very specific knowledge, understanding. Then skill, perfect skill, not skill alone, perfect skill. Then well-grounded in discipline, appropriate speech is the same. Taking care of one's parent, actually, it should be supporting them. Not only taking care, you support them in whatever way. Because taking care is more limited. But when you say you support them in whatever way, you not only take care of them at home, no? You support them. Let's say they have yen to go overseas and they never had the ability, condition and the means. So you support them, arrange for the trip, pay for their trip, and even accompany them, and just really, really gave them the condition to have that dream come true. So all this can be very meaningful. Then here, benevolent support for one's, again, wife and children, should be spouse and children. The other book, they use the word cherish. Then well-mannered occupation. Peaceful occupation is a better one. Then cultivate generosity, righteous conduct, benevolent support of relative, performing blameless deed. This one is the same. Checking unwholesome thought, checking unwholesome action and speech. These are the same. Then intoxicant, non-negligent in wholesome activity. This one is the same. Reverence, humility, contentment, gratitude, these are the same. Timely hearing of the Dhamma. Patient. This word receptiveness is different word. Meeting renunciation is the same. Timely discussion of the Dhamma. Self-discipline, chastity, seeing the noble truth. Realizing on Nibbana, a mind unshaken by all the vicissitudes of life, freedom from sorrow, purity of mind, and mental security. These are all the same except different words. So I check on this word, why he used the word receptiveness. Yeah, it's not receptiveness. Timely hearing of the Dhamma, patient, obedient. Yeah, obedient. It's not receptiveness. It's obedient. Yeah. So you make a note. The rest, they are the same. Okay, good. So finally, we completed the Mangala Sutta. What constitutes supreme blessings? So exactly 10:30, 1 minute beyond. So, unless you got question, keep for next Thursday. So we will end. Then we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then we can end. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Sharing of my Siddha Devas, Akasata, Chilpumata, Deva Naga Mahindika, Punyang Tang Anamoditoa, Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and the Devas and Nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sapa Sampati Siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all Devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Itang me nya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nya tayo. Itang me nya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nya tayo. Itang me nya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all do be well and happy always. Kevio invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you can make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect, mindfully to Lord Buddha. There we are.
For sharing the Buddha Dharma with us tonight by rejoicing with the Sadhu.
Sadhu, Sadhu,
Sadhu. Sadhu to Varasim and Sister Tamasuri for allowing us to come to your house to listen to the Buddha Dharma.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Yeah, and then they